Welcome to episode 67 of The Ball Run, the official podcast for snooker professional Stuart Bingham. This Cogtopia content is sponsored by renovation specialists R&J Carpentry and Construction, and it's a show in which I, sports journalist James Colasanti, ask the man nicknamed Ball Run about recent results, life on tour and life in general. Good morning, mate. How are you today?
Yeah, well, good, thanks. You?
Yeah, very good, thanks. Bit hot. It's cooled down a bit today, thankfully. But yeah, very sweaty, but never mind. Now, listen, one of the trickiest parts of planning these shows is sourcing a photograph to go with the episode. And when I WhatsApped you this morning, about half an hour ago, you sent me one back of you out there on the golf course with snooker legends Steve Davis, Graham Taylor, and also...
Dennis Taylor.
Why have I put Graham? This is my summer all over. So I showed off when I replied to Stu, knowing that it was Taylor and the Nugget, obviously. But then I've gone for a former England football manager as opposed to the spectacled wearing snooker legend, Dennis Taylor. Apologies, Dennis. I'm sure you're an avid regular listener to the show. And former darts number one, Colin Lloyd, who, when I looked at him, I was interested. I didn't know he was Chelmsford based. I didn't know he was one of Essex's finest. On the picture, I deliberately haven't asked you for any details yet. So where was it, and more importantly, who won?
We had a Wiggly Golf Day at the Belfry last Wednesday. And I don't know who won. I didn't play much.
Right.
It was one of those days I was struggling. I know Dennis and Steve on the commentary always praise me up how good I am at golf.
Yeah.
And I said to him that day, you can see how bad I am now.
Yeah.
And they couldn't believe it. I think Dennis, he's a solid sort of, I think he was a 10, 11 handicapper.
Right, okay.
He got the team off. He was scoring all the points for us, really. He sort of trailed away at the end. But obviously, I got going a little bit. But Steve's very solid. Colin, good player. But obviously, maybe like everyone, don't have the chance to sort of play much. I think Dennis is the only one who plays a lot.
Right. I know Steve Davis is quite good. He plays with a friend of mine, Steve Lewis, who's quite high up editorial sport on the Daily Mail nowadays. And I know that they play together. But the Nugget can hold his own, can't he? He's a good player.
Yeah, he actually helped me that day, really, because I was watching him how he swings. He swings so nice and sort of easy, and that's what I end up doing, and I started getting going a bit. So it was a good day. Playing with them two and Colin, it was like a dream come true for me, really. It was just sort of pinching myself every now and then.
Yeah. I take it Davis and Taylor didn't have a set two on one particular green, and Taylor pipped him, and iconic. The chemistry with them. I mean, obviously, everybody knows him from the final and everything, but they're great mates. It must be great to hang around with people like that, right?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, they done a bit at the end. Obviously, it was the semi-final day as well for the England.
Right. Okay,
so Holland, yeah, we obviously. Yeah. We was having dinner at night in between watching the football
on
a couple of big screens. And then after that finished, then Steve and Dennis done a little number up on the stage.
Right.
They're just brilliant sort of together. And it's just good.
Well, listen, let's have a chat about your snooker. And we'll start with your 29th season getting underway with some Championship League action last month. You progressed from stage one with wins over Anthony Hamilton, Ahmed Ali Al-Sayed, and a draw with Hamin Hussein. And in stage two, it was a win over Gu Kang, a draw with Ashley Carter, and a defeat to David Gilbert. And that meant you finished second in the group behind Gilbert, who progressed to the next stage. So a mixed bag there. How did it feel to be back competitively on the bays after ending last season with such a good showing at the Crucible?
Yeah, it was nice. So obviously, I ain't really put my cue down. I've had a few exhibitions. Obviously played a bit of nine ball, bit of Chinese hay ball. So obviously ain't really put my cue down a lot. May probably practiced correctly for snooker, but like I say, I've kept my arm in, and it was good. It was good. I obviously enjoyed it. It was obviously good to get through the first group. Obviously, it'd been nice to get through the second group, but obviously didn't happen. And yeah, it's one of those. It's not a lot of ranking points. Obviously, and Ali Carter ended up winning it. I actually don't think he moved up any places, I don't think, right, in the rankings.
Okay.
So, but yeah, like I say, it's nice to sort of dust the cobwebs off and play a bit of competitive snooker. And like, obviously, put in good stead, hopefully, for the coming weeks for the qualifiers.
Yeah, it's a bit staggered, isn't it? Because that one's got away, and then there's been this bit of a break. I haven't sat down with the schedule and kind of like analysed it. I take it, you know, you've had a look at the Snooker Canada this year coming. The way it's laid out, the destinations, you're kind of happy with it? Any kind of gripes? Or, you know, you're looking forward to how they've done it?
Yeah, obviously, at the moment, you've got the Shanghai Masters. So, obviously, that's a top 16 tournament. That's going on as we speak. I think I just see Judd go 8-1 up on Ronnie. So and Sean Murphy's in the final. So
oh, Ronnie would be thrilled with that.
Yeah. yeah, like, so obviously they've got to try and fit everything in, and like you say, with the qualifiers coming up, there's a little gap in the calendar. I'm going straight after the qualifiers, I'm gonna play another Haybor event, and then stay out there for the Zen Grand Prix. That it's obviously the qualifiers start next week, but I've got a wild card.
Right.
So I've got obviously a player out in China, most probably like 11-year-old potting god.
Mm.
yeah. Looking forward to it, sort of thing.
Brilliant! It must be so good, so exotic. You know, you must feel like a proper Englishman on tour when you go and do this sort of stuff. But and I've said before, I hope you've got your air miles sorted, because you must rack them up. But well, listen. I mean, earlier this month, you also took part in the Pink Ribbon event. I'm sure a lot of snooker followers know that this is an event which supports UK-based breast cancer charities. And you personally, I know you're a long-time supporter of it. You actually entered this time around as defending champion, as you won last time it was played in 2019. It sounds like another one of those things that got a good COVID in, basically. This year, there was a change of venue as it moved from Gloucester to the Landywood Snooker Club in Walsall. And this time around, it was the last four exit to Elliot Slesser in an event eventually won by Ollie Lines. Did you have fun? Was it nice to put on one of those brilliant pink tops again?
Yeah, it was good. It was good to sort of be involved in that competition again. Obviously, Paul Mount, who started it all off down in Gloucester, and obviously been missing for the last sort of 5 years, so maybe probably due to COVID. Mm-hmm. Paul Lloyd from Landywood, he done a great job. He made sure all the tables were reclothed, brand new balls, and he couldn't have asked for a better sort of tournament, really, the way it was run and everything. So it was great to be back involved in that tournament. And it'd been nice. Obviously, Elliot ended up beating me 4-2 in the semis. It'd been nice to play Ollie in the final, because I beat his dad in the final.
Oh, right.
It'd been one of the ones I won, so it'd have been nice to try and do the double on the lines.
Yeah, on the lines family. Yeah, you've won it. Yeah, you've gone quite well in it, haven't you?
I've won it a couple of times, I think.
Right.
I remember beating Peter Lines in one final, and then the last time I won it in 2009, I think I beat Mark Allen.
Right.
So it obviously been a good tournament for me.
It always looks fun. All the players always look like they're grinning away, and the pink tops make for great photographs. I take it it's just a very sort of community focused, very kind of laid back. You just, you know, everything you kind of want, really. The best of the sport, right?
Yeah, like you say, Paul Lloyd, the owner of Landywood, he was getting all the players involved. Obviously, Kyron Wilson was there. We had like Gary Wilson, say Ollie Lyons, Elliot. So many other good top players, and it's just nice to sort of be around all the amateurs as well, and play in a tournament in a pro-am sort of style. So it's nice to be involved in.
Thank you. The second frame.
Okay. Well, this section, I've decided to stitch it in the middle. It was this section is called Carla's ever so clever question. I'm sure listeners to the show will be aware this was previously called Carla's stupid question, but of course she makes my dinner at the end of the day, so I'm not taking my life in my hand anymore. Anyway, listen, now my wife is good at a lot of things, But maths ain't one of them. And whenever she watches the snooker, she's always blown away by the quick in-game calculations by players. So her question this month is, have you ever miscalculated what you needed during a match, and has it ever cost you badly?
Yeah, I think everyone has. Hmm. Sort of clearing up, potting the pink, thinking like you're sort of seven behind and you can draw. Hmm. And like you might have on the last red, might have took the blue where I needed a pink, and got down to the pink, potted the pink, and then the ref sort of game frame the other guy. Mm. It's like, hang on, I can draw. And then I've like looked and I'm like, oh, mm. No.
Do you remember one in particular for you? Is it there an event, a tournament, a player, you know, a match you just sort of really stung and you were really like, oh, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Not that I can think of. It must be a while ago since I've done something like that.
Yeah.
But sometimes you obviously, when you look at the screens, sometimes they could just look blank. You sort of try and they've got the numbers in front of you and you just cannot work it out.
Yeah.
And other times you know exactly what's left and what's on and what you actually need. But sometimes when you just obviously, you see some players now, they check the screen after every shot, and just make sure that it's correct what they're thinking or what they're adding up. So,
yeah, I mean, real.
You know, it's quite a good valid question for
Carla. 100%. That's why it's called Ever So Clever. We've upgraded it. Just on that, just like game theory, I mean, there's more to it than the numbers, isn't there? That, you know, it's the way the balls are lying, you know, what you think they'll do. It's a calculation that's more than numbers, isn't it, basically? It's a real number crunch. What, you know, you top players, you look at a table and you can think in different ways. It's not just what you need, it's what, you know, like I say, it's traps you can set, it's all manner of things, isn't it?
Yeah, like obviously the old day of Steve Davis saying that it's like a game of chess. And yeah, it's very much like that. When you get to sort of levels, like professional levels, you sort of sometimes you refuse a shot, trying to get the white on a certain side of the table, so when they play a safety shot there's a red going over the pocket. And some players don't see that, and you sort of trap them, and then they make mistake and things like that. And like you say, you get 50 points up, and then you're trying to put reds on the side cushion. You might try and put a cover on the side cushion so they can't sort of clear up in one hit and stuff like that. So there's so many different sort of aspects of the game.
Yeah. Now, I've always thought that your match play is particularly strong. I'm always really impressed. Obviously, I focus on you, so I see it. But from your point of view, other players on the tour, who's particularly good at that sort of business? Just like you say, the game of chess. Who's really good at kind of working things out, would you say?
Maybe probably the best one at the moment. You may probably got to look at Mark Selby. I remember, obviously, our game in the semis a few years ago. Yeah. And He sort of very rarely takes a gamble, goes into the reds. He always makes sort of 40-50.
Yeah.
And then he just grinds out the frame, sort of like colour safe. And and like before you know it, you've got three reds on the side, yellow, brown on the side.
He's tied you up in knots. It's like a Chinese puzzle. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. He does take you into the trenches. But anyway, no, I will thank Carla for a question.
One.
Finally, you are preparing for the Wuhan Open qualifier against Xing Zhihao on Monday, July the 29th. And then you've got a British Open qualifier against He Guokang on Friday, August the 2nd. And it will be a busy week for you coming up in terms of practice. You've got a session against Mark Davis planned. And that comes after you make a short trip to Belgium to see your coach, Chris Henry. Now, obviously, I was reading up a little bit on Chris during prep for the show, and he's a really interesting guy. He's worked with so many top sports stars, not just snooker, but just across the spectrum. And I wondered, obviously, your run to the semi suggests he's helped you in a large way too. So I just wondered, what benefits have you had from working with him?
Yeah. Say over the years when we weren't working together, always intrigued of, like you say, being in his company, we sort of speak the same snooker language, if you like, sort of like it, and he puts facts out there, sort of like why white ball do this if you're at the top and stuff like that. And it's just sort of where I suppose we know it, but we don't know the scientific reason behind it. And he gives you all them facts. And so, yeah, just like you say, you could be in a bar and be, all of a sudden the piano start playing and that's Chris. You could be, I know, on a golf course and all of a sudden a ball whizzes past you and that's Chris.
Yeah.
He just knows everything about everything.
Right. And
he's just, he's just a great guy to be around and he gets you in the right frame of mind. And it was obviously good help at the Worlds obviously last season. So obviously going over to Belgium tomorrow morning. And then, come back Tuesday to Tegan's birthday.
Right.
And then Wednesday, I've got to now go to London to pick up a new passport because the Saudi competition, we've got to have a visa and we've got to have a year on our passport. So mine runs out May next year. So I've got to get that done in a day. Obviously, I've had to cancel Matt Selt, which he ain't happy about.
He's not thrilled, no?
No. And then the session with Mark Davis on the Thursday, golf day Friday.
Blimey.
and then Sunday go up to Leicester and play the qualifier.
Mate, it sounds like you actually do need a summer break at some stage. Obviously I keep an eye on the socials and stuff. Do you fit in a family holiday this time around? You got anything planned or you got some downtime coming up?
I haven't actually. I'm sending the family away. They're going to Egypt.
Right.
Next Tuesday week.
Yeah.
So it's sort of while the qualifier's on, and then I won't see them for about 4 weeks because the time they get back, I'll be flying off to China to play in the Hayball event.
Right. So everyone's getting what they want, basically. Is that what you're sort of saying? Yeah.
I just sort of keep the kids and Michelle happy.
God, I wish I had a job which give me a valid excuse to pack them off somewhere for 4 weeks. But okay. As always, it only remains me to say thank you very much for your time today, Stuart, and to wish you the best of luck for those qualifiers in Leicester.
Lovely. Thanks, James. Cheers.